Welcome back. This podcast is scheduled for one fall. With a 60-minute time limit coming out of the black corner to come out and weigh to 666 pounds, I'm your boy Xander Hobbs. This is...
Bobby.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
B.
And once again, we're bringing you another edition of the... Wrestleocalypse.
It is upon us.
This episode is being recorded to you from Dallas Cowboys training camp. All right, back into the mix. Go ahead. You were going to say
something. I was going to say yes. Recording from Dallas Cowboys training camp and sponsored by antidepressants and Xanax if you're a Cowboys fan.
Absolutely. Terrible things going on in Cowboy world in Jerry.
Yes. What I would say is I peeked ahead at the mailbag, and we will be talking a little bit of foosball, so we don't want to get too much into it now.
That's right. Before we jump in, though, I have to bring this up. I just want to wish a happy third birthday to our boy, Griffey. He turned three today. He's sitting right here at my feet. He's got his birthday bow tie on, so we just want to wish him the best and hope all you Wrestleocalypse wish him the best birthday ever. One of the best birthdays.
Happy birthday, Griffey, the kid.
All right, we've got a lot to get into. We've got a lot of things inside and outside the ring going on, so let's just get after it.
Yeah, first got to put a pin on, since last time we talked, Nick Khan and some other executives have basically been outed as corporate officer number two and number three, and basically because of some of their actions in covering up for Vince, not necessarily being involved in it like Laurinaitis, but it really puts WWE, makes them very liable in the federal trafficking charges, which are very serious. So,
right. And we kind of knew this was going to be coming up because there's no way. Well, this is just my opinion. There's no way that these guys didn't know what was going on in my, you know, who knows, but I'm just saying, like, it seems like a legit like threat here that, you know, they knew some stuff and they kind of just let it slide. So it's going to be interesting to see in the next few weeks what's going to happen with Nick, what's going to even happen with H, what's happening with Steph, even though she's not with the company, but her name has been brought up. So, I mean, as this unfolds, we'll bring you more.
Yeah, just it's the problem that won't go away right now. And as much as they're putting a really good product on television, this just lurks. It's lurking in the background.
It's like a shit stain, like off the underwear when you didn't wipe really good and you just have shit stains on it. And it seems like no amount of bleach is going to take it off.
No, you just got to throw those away, buddy.
Yeah.
That's why we wipe to white. But anyways, we digress. But somebody who has been talking some shit, some would say he gave a shit promo. Some would say they booked it like shit.
Yeah. I know where you're getting at.
Yes.
That is one Rocky.
The albatross in the room.
Yes. The final boss, so to say. The Rock. And you know what? I'm a Rock fan. I really am. But like, the taking 15 minutes to get to the ring, another 10 minutes to start the promo, another promo that takes 20 minutes, and you can see where I'm going. Like, it was not one of his best. I know there's a lot of people out there on the interwebs that are saying that it was great. They thought it was funny. Obviously, these people didn't watch the product in 99 when we did, because I just felt there's a lot of nostalgia. The only part I did enjoy was he talked about Cody whipping with him with his belt, and then he sang the Moana song at the end. That was the only part I liked.
Yeah, it was way too long. It ended up eating up almost the first 20 some minutes of the program. And it was kind of weird because like the crowd was treating him like a baby face.
Right. And they made Cody look like a bitch, like on that promo. Like, I understand it's the heel's job to talk down to the baby face, but like, it was just really under, like, I mean, it was really like cutting low. I didn't have a problem with the content, but it's just like Cody wasn't there to respond. I know that, I don't know how they're booking it, but like the crowd was cheering Rock and booing Cody. And it was just, it was way different than the Cody promo that I just watched that was on Raw tonight. Like, the Cody promo took about, had a running time of 10 minutes before Paul Heyman came in, and Cody snapped back. And then you put on here, there's heat for the cussing on SmackDown, for The Rock is being allowed to say what he wants on SmackDown and on Instagram. And while the other WWE guys are not allowed to do as much as him, but it's like, I mean, I'm going to side with The Rock here. He's kind of allowed to do that. Like, he's the guy that drew, he draws, he's a legend. You know what I mean? And that's just how things like this work. And I don't believe in the talent being handcuffed anyway, but this is the way of the world. Like, some shit people get to do, other shit people don't get to do. But like, it seems like they loosen things up because, I mean, maybe Cody's in this upper tier as well. Like, he had some things that he said to Rock. I won't say it right now. Like, you can just go ahead and watch it, but he stepped back. So, I mean, maybe they're loosening things up. So,
yeah, well, I think part of it is like, there was this article, and it was talking about how like Vince McMahon was always asking why AEW was having success. And I think, you know, they do look at what the other program is going, and AEW is definitely led with a little bit more adult themed show and language. And when you look at like the Acclaim, their rap, the Max Caster's raps and stuff like that, and where they've gone, I think it's just pushing the envelope. And plus, to be honest, like, there's lots of cussing all over television now.
Right.
I know you can do it some places and can't do it others, and there's certain times or whatever it may or may not be, but just overall, and I mean, overall discourse in American society has become quite crass. So I think it's not that anything he's saying is so bad. It's, I think you're right, it's just a bunch of fucking sour grapes because, well, I'm sorry, Austin Theory, you can't cuss. Well, right. You're fucking Austin Theory.
I mean, Austin Theory's got more things to worry about than dropping an F-bomb. You know, yeah. Like, yeah, it's just like, did you see that sell that he did on SmackDown?
Holy yes.
He like waited like 2 seconds and then he jumped up. Oh, man. But back to this, like, I mean, it's the cussing isn't it. Like, it beyond what The Rock does, The Rock is just really good on the mic. And I think even if you took out the cussing and stuff like that, he'd still cut a good promo. That's just what guys on the stick can do. Like, Paul Heyman doesn't cuss one bit, and he's one of the best to ever talk. Same with Bobby the Brain Heenan. So it's not just that. I mean, you just have to be good on the mic. Look at guys like The Miz. And it's just like, I get what they're saying because Rock has all this leeway, and then it's just like, it looks weird when the best that they can come up with is like Diarrhea Dwayne. Because then he literally said, because he has poop coming out of his mouth. That's fucking childish. Like, I'm sorry, that wasn't good. Like, so I can understand that. But like I'm saying, draw the same money The Rock does, then you'll have some leeway. Like,
yeah. And if, you know what, if he goes too far, I'm sure his keepers at Disney will get him in line.
Right. Right. You know? So, I mean, it is what it is, but it's still, you know, it was a fine SmackDown. Next item of business right here, you have is LA Knight booking.
There's been a lot of kind of hand-wringing or concern about the booking of LA Knight. There's been some rumors that he's been unhappy about it, which, I mean, I don't think if you went from like, I think there's a difference between being unhappy about something and like actively trying to sabotage the promotion or your show or going into business for yourself.
Right.
To be honest, if you're not in the main event, you should be unhappy about it. You're trying to be a professional wrestler, right? Like,
yeah,
just like you should be going for the titles. Like, these are the things that matter. So, but I do think they've done a poor job at really selling how significant this match is. Like, you're on a WrestleMania. Like, is it AJ Styles is still wrestling, right? It's still this is still a big match, but for some reason, I guess it doesn't feel that way.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it just kind of like, it just seems like they just kind of put it together in Elimination Chamber so they can get something for both these guys to do. But to be fair, LA Knight was being booked at the top of the card a little bit late, a little earlier in the year. But and the, towards the end of last year. But the thing is, when you guys have Orton coming back, you have Cody Rhodes, you have CM Punk, even though he's hurt, Seth Rollins, like Drew McIntyre. Those are just a lot of guys at the top. The top of the card is crowded. So I'm glad at least he's got a match at Mania, and it's with AJ Styles. So it should be a good match. That's nothing to sneeze at, really.
No, and I think it goes to point to this thing that we've talked a lot about. It's like Roman Reigns hasn't really elevated anybody. Like the people he's feuded with get TV time, but it's like after they're done, there just doesn't seem to be anything left for them.
Right, and it's just been a problem since Reigns has had the title. You know, like nobody, like this is stuff we talk about, like some people can look good after a loss. People can, like, you know, look at Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon in WrestleMania 10. Like Shawn Michaels lost that match, but he came out like a million bucks. They haven't done that with Reigns. Like, it's just like you go up against him, you get the TV time, like Bobby said, and then you're back down in the bottom of the card, not, you know, towards the mid card or whatever. So it's just like the sooner we can get this title off Reigns, the better. You know what I mean? Because people are supposed to be elevated in a win and a loss. You know, you're supposed to build guys up. And this is like, we're getting to the point that we've been out of people to wrestle for that title. It's been done. Like Cody is literally the last person. So they've got an issue if they decide to dig their feet in and give us another year with Reigns. There's going to be an issue.
Yeah, I think the title will turn pretty quickly if that's where they go.
Oh, the people in Philly will be livid. They'll burn that place down.
They throw batteries at Santa and boo when people, or cheer when people have life-threatening injuries.
Exactly. And I wouldn't be too sad if they burnt the clink down anyway, so.
I don't think anybody would.
No. But
I agree with, it's going to be interesting to see. I think it'll be a good match. They've got a few more weeks to build it up. Not that I think they're going to do really much to build it up. It's probably going to be a couple promos and then. But I heard that, I think what Styles says, he's not even going to be on Raw until, or he's not coming back to SmackDown or some shit like
until
that.
Until Mania?
Yeah.
That's not going to be good.
No. But they pretty much, we'll tie a quick bow in the WWE. I saw a pretty comprehensive list of confirmed matches, and I did see in the dirt sheets internally, they think it's locked, you know. I would say anything. The matches, the program. Okay. And it's still a little bit different because they haven't necessarily filled out when. Like, we as the public don't know when. I think that's probably what they have internally decided. We know that, again, night number one, Bloodline versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins, which the Bloodline obviously is The Rock and Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And then we know on night number two, we have Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. And we're going to have Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes.
And then we have, we don't know what night Bex and Rhea Ripley is, right?
No. And then they basically have seven confirmed matches, maybe more now with what's going on Raw as we speak. But they haven't decided, but we're going to get both women's champions up being challenged. So Io Sky and Bayley, Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch. I doubt they'll put those on the same night.
Yeah. I mean, they shouldn't. And then there's that, like, and then there's Gunther and Sami Zayn.
Right. Which was weird. Not what we expected, but
no,
Chad Gable.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like Chad Gable, after Chad Gable cut that promo, I was like, okay, he's got this one in the gauntlet. But then they gave it to Zayn. And the thing is, like, and Sami Zayn kind of mad at the reaction of the internet. But it's like, Sami Zayn had his moment last year. Yeah, he was in the main fucking event, night one. You know, like, let's get some other guys. Chad Gable's got, like, a deal. He's got some history. So, I don't know. There's some little chinks in the armor right here. But, like, as far as the builds goes, it's doing all right. So we'll just like to see how this is more peace. There's some issues with Jay and Jimmy Uso tonight on Raw. So Cody came out for the save where they're going to put a beat down on Jay. I'm looking forward to that match. And I mean, I'm just looking forward to the whole card, to be honest with you. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Like you said, we've got brother versus brother, which they're already pumping. once every 15 years.
Right.
Wrestle. And it is cool because it's like there was the Owen and Bret Hart match, then it was the Hardy Boys, and now it's the Usos. And so pretty awesome. We talked about LA Knight and AJ Styles, which AJ Styles can get a good match with anybody.
Anyone, so, yeah.
Then we've got the six-pack ladder match for the undisputed WWE tag team.
That's a mess.
Dude, here's my problem with this match. The Judgment Day, both Finn Balor and Damian Priest are 40 plus.
Yeah.
Years old.
Yeah.
None of them are known as like really high flyers or somebody you would expect to be in a ladder match in any, like, you know, I mean, you're not like, they're not swantoning off the, you know, all the things that you want to see in ladder match. Then we have Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa, who's like wrestling career was almost ended multiple times because of neck injuries.
Mm-hmm.
The Awesome Truth, which, I mean, I know that R-Truth has some funny moments with the ladder, but again, not really thinking he's like a ladder match guy.
No.
And then you've got Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. So Kofi, yes. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
right?
Kofi.
The but he's one... also, how old is he?
Kofi's in his 40s too.
So we're just going to like all the old, yeah, all you old men, guess what we're doing for WrestleMania? Ladder match, six man ladder match. Go just, break yourself off.
That's lazy fucking booking.
I know. And it's for the championship.
I know. It's lazy booking.
So not really a fan of that match. We'll see what they do with it, but seems like a popcorn match to me.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be interesting to see where they go with the Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens match.
Yeah, that one's all right. I don't mind that being a triple threat. So because those guys are going to put on a good match.
Yeah, and they've got two pros, and Logan Paul has performed well, but he still needs to be protected, you know?
Right.
So we got a couple more weeks. They'll continue to build it up. We'll continue to talk about it, but let's move on to the AEW part of the show.
So we are just, last week was Big Business, and that was the debut of the artist formerly known as Sasha Banks, now known as Mercedes Moné.
So, are they calling her the CEO?
Is CEO, that which is, you know, the people like to chant, and that's a good chant. It was over. She's over. I mean, she brings much needed star power to the women's division. Like, I mean, the women's division has some like high points, but not the best. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. I know there's some history there with Willow Nightingale. So, because they fought in New Japan, and that's when Sasha had that injury and they had to like call an audible, and Willow ended up winning. So maybe they'll revisit that. But I don't know. The promo was good. It was like a happy to be here promo. So her character's not quite defined yet. But I mean, we're just going to have to wait and see like the upcoming weeks what happens with her.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad she came out. It puts up a lot of the rumors to rest about if she was going to show up at, you know, WrestleMania or whatever it may or may not be. So that's good. Move forward with it. It's been a rumor for a long time. So
yeah,
glad to see it going. Yeah. And like, Wardlow, hot heater. He's a rocket going straight to the top,
man. They buried him twice.
Dude, he's blowing up like a SpaceX rocket. Like,
man, I just,
I didn't get it. I kind of liked it. Cause I like Samoa Joe should be choking more people out. I like that would be a cool match if it was against Lance Archer.
Yeah.
For Samoa Joe, you know,
but I just don't know. I mean, what you have some pretty strong guy. Like what? This guy could have been like a big deal with AEW, and they tried to like rebuild him, and they didn't. Like, well, maybe if they weren't ready for Joe to like lose the title, then put that match for a later date. Why did it have to happen so quick? And like, why was it in the beginning of the match? Why wasn't that, or the show? Why wasn't it the main event? That's the title. Like, that's the world, that's the main title in the company. And then they main evented with Willow Nightingale and Riho? Sorry, bro. Like, that doesn't work. And for right now, too, Undisputed Kingdom, they're dead in the water. Like, this was their whole thing, that Wardlow was going to win the title and then give it to Adam Cole. if Adam Cole's not ready to go, then why have, like, make it make sense. Sorry. Like, it's just a big head scratcher.
No, I wanted to give you space to get it out because it is. It's like, it just very perplexing. And AEW, sure, they often will put big matches at the beginning of the night. It's kind of cool. Sometimes it works out well for them. But generally speaking, they also have big matches at the end of the night.
Right.
And this maybe not was not Willow Nightingale versus Rhea was probably not the one. I mean, maybe they want people to know, like, well, we want people to know who Willow Nightingale is because they know who Sasha Banks is. And they're like, who is this bitch talking about?
Right.
Like, right. Oh, here it is. But it just didn't make a lot of sense. Bryan Danielson, when he wrestles, that makes sense to me.
It does. I mean, that guy doesn't have a bad match. Like, he's the only reason why to watch Collision.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And, like, there is no reason to watch Rampage.
No. Rampage, I stopped watching Rampage pretty, like, a long time ago, honestly. Because it's just not good. Another thing that doesn't make sense that AEW was doing, it's like, so this whole Bang Bang Scissor Gang thing is done. That's a wrap. And it was weird to me because if you remember, if you go back, they banded together with this uneasy alliance because they wanted to take out the Undisputed Kingdom. As when they got together, there was no mention of them. They never went back after them. Nothing. They just made stupid like promos. And then they had this match, and then it was just so easy to tell, and that's done. So I guess the bright side on it, there's a feud, but it's just like, it's more stuff that doesn't make sense. Why put them together if you're just going to pull the plug on it real quick, right? It's weird. That could have been a cool program with them in Undisputed Kingdom, because Undisputed Kingdom is not doing anything. Like, those guys are not doing anything.
Yeah, it's, I don't understand any of it. And again, it's one of those things, like, it's hard to get excited about some of this stuff. Like, Jay White, I was excited about Jay White. And you think about all the matches he could have and all the things he could do. And
right,
like, oh, cool, we're going to get some of that, you know, that Edge and that wrestler from New Japan. And, like, it has not been that.
It hasn't been working so far.
No, right. It hasn't. And there's too many people they bring in like that. I have faith that they won't do it with Ospreay because they won't do it with Okada because they've got Ospreay connected with Bryan Danielson.
Right.
And they've got Okada in the Elite.
Right. So that's going to, even if they tried, I don't think they're going to ruin those two.
No. And I think
there's no way.
Ospreay is such a technician and he's really at the top of the craft in ring work and everything. Like,
I mean, just the way he, ever since he put on the weight during COVID and came back, like, he's always been good, but he just became next level, you know, after the pandemic. And it's just like, this guy is amazing. Like, if you don't know who he is, do yourself a favor and go into the YouTube machine and dial up Will Ospreay. Like, just everything hits, from his strikes to his, like, moveset. The guy's awesome. And, like, the crowd knows it. AEW knows it. Like, the guy's the man. Like, I can't say enough good things about him.
Yeah. I mean, he has to be good if Kenny Omega's going to let him drop him on his head.
Right.
You know? So, and that's good. And then Okada had a match too. He finally got to wrestle.
Yeah. They had that trios match. It was whatever.
Yeah. But didn't he finally wrestle his first singles match?
Oh, did he? You're probably right. He did.
You know, so it wasn't like, which is good. He's fun to watch, dude. And the way the Rainmaker is fucking cool.
And he's got one of the best drop kicks in the business. So yeah. It's like, I mean, and there's a lot of good drop kicks out there. But, you know, Okada's at the top almost. But anything else in AEW you want to go before we snip into the odds and ends?
Yeah, I just want to mention, like, got to see a couple of Kyle O'Reilly's promos where he talks about his injury and coming back. And I know this is something that is obviously, you know, it's easy to go back to the well in pro wrestling about people coming back from injuries because people get injured so often.
Yeah.
But it was the best camera work he's done ever that I've seen. And probably because, yeah, it was super authentic and he probably is just happy to be back, happy to be healthy again. But I thought he looked great. I think he looks bigger than I remember him. And I'm excited that he gets to go and wrestle. I mean, that being said, everything we said about all the other guys who come in and get tossed to the wayside with no programs, never get on TV, like, that's probably what's going to happen to him too.
Right.
But I'm glad he's back wrestling healthy, continuing to live his dream, chase his dreams, and hopefully maybe he'll be the exception, not the rule, and maybe he'll be what brings that makes Undisputed Kingdom something worth watching.
Yeah, let's hope so, because they have like crickets. Like they have like indifference when they come out. They're not even getting heat. It's bad.
Yeah, but I could see like maybe Kyle O'Reilly tries to like, you know, get Adam Cole and Roddy Strong and try to like break off and feud with the Kingdom, whatever the fuck their name was. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But the last thing I want to talk about, you watched it today, really enjoyed MLW is getting the mileage, as much mileage as they can, out of the King of Bros, Matt Riddle. And he went up against one of the Wrestleocalypse's favorite independent wrestlers, Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Yeah, that was cool. And like now that Davey Boy Smith Jr. is part of the WTF, what is it, the World Titan Federation? And I forget what the guy's name is, the manager that runs it, but he was funny because like you could totally tell it was a play on like kind of poking fun at WWF, because he was just saying how like everybody's vascular and veiny and stuff like that. So it was kind of funny. But back to the match, it was a good match, like just straight up wrestling match. That's what it was. There were some shenanigans on the outside, but like for the most part, it was just straight up wrestling, and they were promoting the thing like it was the MMA guy versus the grappler. And it was a cool finish too, because like it was a reversal of a reversal, and then he got the win. So real quick, so that shows that this isn't going to be over, but it was still a really good match to watch.
Yeah, I like it. And you know, there was an interview Matt Riddle did, and he talked about kind of like, you know, he's very, I think, eyes wide open about his time at WWE and why he got released, and it wasn't a surprise, but he was also, you know, for him, the travel didn't help him.
Right.
You know, and the travel's so brutal and everything. And obviously from his Instagram, it seems like he's doing a lot of jujitsu lessons and stuff like that. And then he's going and wrestling, selling out MLW and, you know, on the weekends and stuff. So we'll see how he rehabilitates his image and where he, if he ever comes back to a main promotion, or if he decides that he could be one of these guys who can just, he can just do his thing on the independent wrestling scene.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a lot of talent. So if he doesn't get in his own way, you know, he can, the sky's like the limit for him.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. So it's good to see him getting some breaks. I think it's funny. I was looking at some World Titan Federation stuff, and like, Tom Lawler kind of looks like, I guess like an elf, but he's got the big ears and with his like chops and his hair, and he look kind of has like, I don't know who he's thinking. It's like part like a goat boy, maybe.
It kind of looks like an orc.
Yeah,
like it looks like him and Pac could be orcs.
Yeah, that would be funny. They should be the orc stable.
Yeah,
but
that was our first half. Or do you have something else to put in?
No, I was just going to say that, you know, hopefully we'll see more of Pac. But again, wrestlers getting tossed to the wayside.
You never know. So we're going to take a quick powder and come out to you with some hard hitting cool shit. I'm once again, we're back with your favorite segment, my favorite segment, Bobby's favorite segment, and the Dark Lord's favorite segment. What do you like to call it?
Cool shit.
And cool shit, usually, no, always, starts off with
the motherfucking mailbag.
Let's get it.
All right, first question comes from Gavin. They ask, this question is for Bobby. What's up? This is Gavin from Metal Optic Sunrise. Have you heard of the album of Mountains and Moonshine by Sign of the Southern Cross? If you like Southern metal, this is a good listen. For both of you, what is your favorite WWF pay-per-view from 2001? So, no, I've never heard of that. Yes, I will check it out. Southern metal does have a special place in my heart. But that's just the appetizer, because this meat of this question, what is your favorite WWF pay-per-view from 2001? So, first thing I have to do is I have to figure out what pay-per-views were in 2001.
Oh, there was a few good ones. I did my research on that. By the way, if you guys are into heavy metal, Gavin runs a dope page called Metalocalyptic Sunrise. He does like mashups, albums of the week, versus, rank this. Really cool. If you like metal, check it out. He's a cool ass dude. Back to the question. If I just go right off the top of my head, I'm picking WrestleMania 17, because that was like huge. Houston, Texas. It had the triple threat ladder TLC match of the Hardys, Dudleys, Edge and Christian, Undertaker versus Triple H, and then of course Steve Austin versus, and then they had Shane versus Vince McMahon, then Steve Austin versus The Rock, with Steve Austin turning heel, siding with Vince McMahon at the very end, JR having a stroke. So that one's off the top of my head. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, I mean, that one, some would argue, is top, possibly the greatest WrestleMania ever.
Right.
Obviously, the matches that stick out are great, great matches. Like historic matches, like you said, the swerve at the end, father versus son match, the TLC 2 with Dudley's and Edge and Christian and everything. So it's super stacked. There was quite a few good ones. You're right.
I mean, this was an interesting time too, because, you know, halfway through the calendar year, you know, they had that invasion angle after Vince bought WCW. So you had all those guys coming in, not all the classic WCW guys, but like the lower card guys, and they had to try and make it work. And that's when Austin did some of his best work, which I didn't appreciate at the time, but I could learn to like, because he was a heel, but he had this other kind of comical side to him. So, and that's where the what chant started. I mean, and then if you go to the end of the calendar year, where you end the year with Vengeance, and that's where Chris Jericho beats Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock in the same night, becoming the first undisputed heavyweight champion. So there's that.
Yeah. But in the end, I think the WrestleMania is, for such a good year and with at a, like you said, an interesting time, but still a lot of the big time players were pretty much at the peak of their powers.
Right.
Like Rock was still big, Stone Cold, Kurt Angle, Undertaker. Jericho. You still had, you know, you had the Hardy Boys still, right. Like,
I mean,
doing it. Dudley.
This is when the top of the card, like top to bottom of the card, was stacked. Like every match was good. Every match was much see. That's Undertaker was in his American Badass phase. You know, that was cool. There's Kane. Like, I mean, it was, then a lot of people say too, it was bittersweet because that was the quote unquote end of the Attitude Era. And that's what kind of ushered in the Ruthless Aggression Era. But I think I'm going to stick by my pick and still go with WrestleMania 17. Just way too stacked.
I agree. Thanks for dropping us the line, Gavin. Moving on to the Turf Terminator. Greetings, gentlemen. They use that very loosely. I love the show, especially when you guys talk music. You've turned me on to a lot of bands, and for that, I am grateful. I'm a big AFI fan, and I know you guys are Two, but my question is, do you like the direction they went music wise? I was just curious about the reason for why or why not, because I know that this was a hot button subject when they began the transition. I personally do. I really, you know, Black Sails, Art of Drowning, that is probably my favorite AFI. And then, but I still definitely do appreciate some of the later stuff where they went, they continued, I would say, like, get a little farther away from, like, the Very Proud of Ya AFI, and maybe a little bit more toward some other, you know, like,
what would you call that? Like, post-punk? Like, so what kind of genre would that be? I never, like,
which one?
Like the one they're in now. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's just because they go through different, even when they were like a punk band, they went through like different phases even then. So they had Very Proud of You, Answer That. And then they go to Shut Your Mouth, Open Your Eyes, which is pretty much a hardcore album. And then they start mixing in the gothic-y stuff with like Black Sails and Art of Drowning. That was their, and then Sing the Sorrow was the start of them kind of going towards this other direction, because they had some other songs that fit that. And now with this latest album, they're like full into that. So, I mean, for me personally, if I'm going to put in AFI, I'm going to play like Art of Drowning or Black Sails and stuff like that. Like, is the music bad that they make now? No, it's just not what I'm used to hearing from them. And so that's okay. Cause you know, I respect bands that want to, like, you know, expand their sound and, you know, do different things. Cause you know, like, maybe there was only so many directions they could go playing their old style. Maybe they got tired of it. You know, we don't know what's going on in their heads. So I'm not mad at them for it. I'm just like, I'll just listen to the old stuff.
Yeah. And I think, like, I never held any grudge or ill will toward them for changing. And I liked it. They kind of changed when my musical tastes were changing and looking, you know, moving away, being in college, looking for other things beyond the small amount of music I was really into in high school. So, you know, I appreciate it. I think it's hard as a band. You constantly want to amass more fans, I guess, right? But you also want to do something that's rewarding to you as an artist. And sometimes it works out for people, like, and sometimes it doesn't. I think, you know, Sing the Sorrow is a pretty phenomenal album, though.
It's a good album. It's not like, it's just not for me personally. It's not a front to backer. Like, there, it's not like there's a few songs that are skip worthy. Like, I think their last really strong album for me was Art of Drowning.
Yeah, I don't know. Sing the Sorrow is pretty good, though. But, you know, that's music for you. Everybody's got an opinion. And I don't know why people were so mad about it.
I don't know. I wasn't even mad about it, because it's not like they completely, like, 180. Like, you could hear it coming. You know what I mean? You could hear them taking a new sound. Like, versus, like, a band like, say, Metallica, that, like, totally, like, just flipped the script. And, like, I know there's people out there that have grown to like Load and Reload, but, like, when those albums came out, they were really shitted on, you know? But it's Metallica. They're still the biggest band in the world, so, like, it didn't really hurt them that much. But for me personally, that was more of, like, people were kind of beside themselves about that. But with AFI, I'm not mad at it. And, like, maybe it's because I've grown older. And, like, I'm not going to get mad at bands. I'm just going to listen to the stuff that I like. So that's it.
Yeah. And with Spotify, where not only can you listen to the hardest hitting, most influential professional wrestling podcast, but it's like, I'm not as militant about things, because there isn't the feeling that, like, we are at the mercy of the K-Rock DJs or whatever, TRL and MTV, and trying to find the stuff that we like in a crowded mainstream, because I can just listen to whatever I want.
Right.
And then if exactly. I want to, I can listen to a band, you know. It's just, there's so, just the Discover Weekly and, you know, new releases, playlists they do can turn you on to some, so much new music. So I think that's part of it too, is like, nobody should be mad. Anything there, it's like wrestling. If you want it, you can find it.
Right.
So great question. Love to talk about music, Turf Terminator. All right, rounding the bend. to the truth, maybe the R truth.
We are influential.
I'm a little sad that Offsides and Delay of Game is on hiatus, but it couldn't have come at a better time after this atrocious Cowboys season. With the Joneses seemingly sitting on their hands, I don't see good things happening next season. I didn't have a question. I just wanted to vent. That's true. It's disappointing they're not doing more. But at the same time, I'm looking at some moves that other teams are making, and I'm thinking that would be so much worse. Like, can you imagine, like, giving Kirk Cousins a guaranteed $100 million?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Like, coming off an Achilles?
Right.
Like, a real Achilles, not like an Aaron Rodgers Achilles, where, you know, he could have come back. Could have come back.
And he's a little long in the tooth too.
Or he's on the wrong side of 40.
Yeah. Is he 40?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh man. Cause that's even like, cause I thought he was like Dak Prescott's age. He's 35.
35. Okay. I don't know why I heard 40, but still he's on the wrong side of 35.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. So, I mean, it's very disappointing, especially when there were like decent running backs there and that was a need that they needed and they just did nothing. The Joneses were on vacation. Like, that shows you how much they care about this team. I mean, and they say they're like in they don't have much room in the cap, but it's like this is always happens because like whoever's running their cap shit is not doing a good job. It's just like teams are getting better. Like, I mean, the Eagles not going to go that far probably again, but at least they're like desperate. They have that like sense of urgency, you know, to like be better. I don't know how good they're going to be with Saquon Barkley, you know, because they were just talking about DeAndre Swift being the best. So who knows? But like, you know, Nick Sirianni will get in the way for somehow. So I'm not worried about that.
Yeah. I feel like this is a make or break year for Sirianni.
It is.
Maybe Jalen Hurts too. Like,
no, that's for sure.
Their precipitous decline at last season.
It was an epic collapse.
Dude, it's like, how did in 1 week he went from a team where like, man, they're going to win 9 straight, 10 straight to like, this team is dog shit. And they proved it out.
Yeah, I mean, we're losing a lot of players too. We're not getting the players we need. We got a linebacker, but then they're losing a lot of players. Specifically over to the Washington Commanders, which is like really fucking chaps my ass. Like, I don't know. I'm not looking forward to the season. I'm glad it's far away. And maybe they'll do something in the draft, but like not having a good draft pick that's not going to help either. So I don't really know what to say. I don't want to get mad because I've been mad about it every time I open like ESPN or my links that I follow. So, I mean, I'm with you, Truth. It's going to be a rough one.
Yeah, and maybe that's what the Cowboys need. They needed a season with no expectations that they can surpass before letting us down in the playoffs.
That's exactly. And if you would like to also vent or send in some album recommendations or a question or a comment, you can send your questions to Xander Hobbs on Instagram. That's XANDER_HOBBES. Same thing on the Threads machine. Bobby, where can they find you?
They can find me at WrestleOclips, spelled like it sounds. And we love all the participation from the listeners. So please definitely give us some content. We'd love to hear what you guys think.
And if you haven't done it already, like this, follow it. And so we can move up in the algorithm. Doesn't cost you anything. Just do that so we can keep bringing you more and more of this shit.
Yeah, boy.
All right, this was the match of the week that I previously had prepared for last week, but I had to switch it really quick. But this one was cool because it came on my YouTube feed, and it was, forget what the promotion is, but you can find it on YouTube. Let me see. Hold on. Give me a second because I need to promote the promotion. Okay, it's from Defy Wrestling, and it's Cody Rhodes versus Swerve Strickland. You guys know him from AEW, know Cody Rhodes from WWE. So this was 6 years ago, and we all remember when Cody Rhodes got released and he put that Instagram post out with him, with like, you just see a piece of paper with names on it. And that was going to, he was going to cut his teeth through the Indies and like rebuild himself. And this was one of the matches. It was not on his list, but like, it was a good match though anyway. So I thought it was cool. I loved how it ended. Like, and it just shows like you, how much both of these men are capable of. And this is where Swerve wasn't even at his peak, and neither was Cody. So it's just cool to see them there and then where they are now. I don't know. What did you think about it?
I loved it. I loved how they shot it. I loved how it was a unique, different, you know, we get so used to like the WWE style of packaging and wrestling match for television.
Right.
And so this was just different. It was cool. And I'm a big fan of this phase of Cody's career. I really like, I don't know if it was Defy, but he had a really good match with Kyle O'Reilly when he was still in the, like, he was wearing the Bullet Club boots. That was really good. So I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. And the more I can get a Swerve, the better, right? Like,
right. Hopefully they just pull the trigger on him pretty soon. So, but if you're interested in this match, I know a lot of you like good matches out there. Check that out. You can find it on YouTube. Defy Wrestling, Cody Rhodes versus Swerve Strickland. But now on to the things we're watching besides wrestling. Bobby, you got a few on here. We got TOC coming up. Let's go through this.
Yeah, so definitely been just trying to pay a little bit more attention to college basketball as the conference tournaments have rolled on. I got a guy I work with who's a North Carolina alumnus, so he's super excited. I recommended it to Betty Rebel. She checked out the program. I watched a couple of those episodes. Everything Xander said about it is the truth. It is some wackadoodle shit. Definitely been watching the TOC stuff. And then new show on Food Network with Eric Agapong. It's called Wild Card. There's like three chefs and there's a card game and they bet money. So just another take on a cooking competition. But the first episode had Jet Tila and Eddie Jackson and another chef who had been on Beat Bobby Flay. I just can't remember his name, but it was very good. It was fun to watch. Like I said, just, I really like Eric Agapong. I think he's a great chef and an equally as good host. And so it was fun, just something to put on and kind of, you know, veg out and watch. So that's basically been most of what we have been watching.
I've just been watching wrestling and then just live concert shows pretty much. And then Dark Side of the Ring. So not really, in TOC, it's pretty much about it. Been looking for a new show. Still need to watch that one that Betty Rebel did. Maybe that'll be in the rotation this week.
Yeah, but the movie.
Yeah. Do you have, so we're on to the Get Rid of One. Do we have one set up on the docket or
no?
No. All right, we're gonna skip it this week then.
Sounds like we're getting rid of One. We'll bring it back. But we wanted to definitely talk a little bit of foosball in the mailbag. So, and we got to talk about TOC.
Right. Man, that was like a stacked episode. Like, everybody was good. Like, good chefs went home.
Yeah, this bracket is incredibly tough.
Yeah.
And I feel they set it up with a lot of these matches in mind. So first off, first match coming hot. Like it's dynamite. We got LaFaso and Voltaggio.
Yeah.
And disappointed that one of these was going to have to go even before it started, because they're both two of my favorites. I think two of them who can cook with anybody.
Right. Yeah, if Voltaggio just didn't make the donut dense, like he was right there, but it was just that one error that cost him that. But I like how he just like has these like wild ideas and they always seem to hit. Like they always seem to be good. That's like his thing. But Antonio is no joke. So, and there was Shirley Chung versus the number 8 seed. I forget what his name is.
Dale.
Dale and Tobias went up.
Right.
Too. And Tobias won that one.
Tobias won that one. I didn't feel either of their dishes were spectacular, but.
I mean, yeah. But what's up with the wild card on the randomizer? Like, re-rolling one, or like one re-rolled the whole thing. I think that was with Manit and Ajapong.
Did they re-roll? I know they did the protein, and they ended up taking away the pork belly.
Right.
Everyone was stoked on.
And then the randomizer, double pork chops.
The randomizer's fucked up, dude.
Right.
It is. And then just like even the stuff they had in there, you know, it's like, I mean, I think some of the produces were wacky, and it makes it a tough, and you don't have a lot of time, right?
No, you don't. Like this one, they get 35 minutes, but that's still not a lot of time.
Yeah.
Especially for a double pork chop or a porterhouse like they had on there. So I don't know. This season's been like, this has probably been the best season so far, just with the star power.
The star power is definitely strong. I think the judges know what to expect more now.
Yeah.
I feel like we're getting maybe some stingier judging.
Yeah. A lot of nitpicking.
Yeah. A lot of 83 to 85s and stuff. So,
well, this episode, there were some pretty wide gaps for wins, like on a few of the matches. So like there were people that kind of like, you know, when it's like a 5-point swing, that's a lot in this competition.
Yeah. That's definitely the truth. And I mean, usually they tend to be pretty close.
Yeah, just this episode, there's some asses were beat. So
yeah. Yeah, it's not that close. And then I like these. I like when we've got I like Scott, I like Nancy, and I like obviously I can't remember his name.
I know who you're talking about. I'm drawing a blank too.
Marcus. Thank you.
Yeah, Marcus.
He's got the two, like the Marcus Samuelson. It's very difficult. I was like coming up with Sam, but yes, I like all of them a lot. And yeah, the Kevin Lee, he is the eighth
That's
seed.
Right. He's the eighth seed. And he knocked out Shirley
Chong.
Yeah.
So they're bringing in new people with some serious heat, man.
Yeah, these guys got skills that come out. He knocked out two big like chefs, Brooke and Shirley. So the guy's he's it.
Yeah, he definitely he's got Antonia in front of him.
That's gonna be another good match.
Yeah, and then we're gonna have Manit and Tobias.
Another good one.
It is, but I mean Manit's so good.
She's really good. She whipped Ajapong's ass.
Yeah.
She's just on top of her game.
She is. So it looks like next episode we will get Mylin and Leanne.
Yes.
Along, which is that's another one like somebody another, really good's gonna go home.
Another banger.
Carlos Anthony and Jet Tila. My money's on the Jetster. And then over on the other side we've got Faison versus Freitag.
Oh, another good one.
Yeah, I'm putting my money on Freitag. Then we got Murphy and Britt. Because I think it's going to be Amanda versus Mark Murphy. Especially because they came in on the first episode. They walked in together.
Right.
And they're like it's part of the Chopped crew.
Exactly.
So I think I would like that. And I don't dislike Britt. Not a huge fan of Tiffany, so I wouldn't mind to see either of them lose. But we are marching onward and upward in the TOC. It has been good. All right, brother.
All right. So I'm going to start off with this since we're in the gorilla position.
Yes.
This album just dropped on Friday and I've been super excited for it. This band has made it on the Wrestlelocalypse quite a few times. They're called Aborted from Austria. This album is called Vault of Horrors. And it's cool because they have guest vocalists from like different bands in it. So like in this song I'm about to play, it's called Insect Politics. It's got Jason Evans of Ingested. And then they have another track, The Shape of Hate, with Oliver from Arcspire. Guys from Signs of the Swarm, Despised Icon, Cryptopsy. If you know your metal, you'll know that. But enough with this. This is Insect Politics by Aborted. Check it out right now. Let's go. Yeah, listen to this whole album today. Banger. Aborted doesn't put out bad albums. So enjoy this as we add yet another song to the playlist.
Yes, and hopefully introduce another person to a new band. So that is a fantastic song. I am coming out to also another band that has made it on this on a previous playlist. And this one comes from one of our favorites, the band For Us.
Nice.
For Us. And this song is off the album Lights from 2014. And it is called War's Not Over. I've Just Found the Flag. And you can hear their awesome tune right now. Good one.
I like that band a lot.
Yeah, they're good. They're kind of like punky, skatey punky with some mathy in there, and they've got good riffs. I mean, they're just cool.
They're like, they're a little thrice-ish, like, well, like a little bit.
Yeah,
but maybe more on the punk side,
less on like the hardcore emo side.
Exactly. But like, great band. I believe I found them. You sent me the article that was like metal or punk bands that metalheads should know or something like that. So I went down the list and I listened to almost all the bands, and this band really stuck out. And another gem, another awesome track that we'll be adding to our playlist. But yes,
indeed.
And it is, just to remind you, so you can look out for Spotify, it is Wrestleocalypse 2024, Year of the Mamba. Is that what it is?
Yes, Wrestleocalypse Jams 2024, Year of the Black Mamba.
There we go. All right, so now we're in the ring. We are inside the dark side of the ring with episode 2 entitled Buff and the Bagwell. Did you know a lot about Buff Bagwell before this, Bobby?
No.
No.
Not at all. I was surprised.
So I want to know what you thought now, since you didn't know about him.
So, I mean, obviously a little bit darker, a little bit more of the classic Dark Side of the Ring, some problems with the pain pills, you know, kind of had a crazy family story of going from rich to poor.
Shooting his dad.
Yeah, shot his dad and ended up like breaking his arm, and just the whole childhood thing doesn't set you up for success. But he did find some success as a wrestler, you know, and it's surprising to me, like, just the whole, like, I'm going to hire my whole family. Like, they did make good money. Like, if you got to a certain, once you got to a certain, I guess, like, status and you're working for these big companies at that time, you're probably making good money.
Right.
But, you know, he got cracked in the back of the head by Shane Helms and then, like, got addicted to pain pills or.
Well, yeah, because he had that match against
Or the car accident, he had the seizure in the car accident, and then he got addicted to the pain pills. And then
because I think he got it from his neck injury, and then he got back on it because of the car accident after the neck injury. So, yeah, I mean, those things are no joke. And, you know, he's lucky to be alive. He's another success story from DDP. You know, he went to the accountability crib, and he was able to get clean. So at least it had a happy ending. I mean, it was just, he was one of those guys that was like, he was a good mid-card guy, but like, that was about it. Like, but he was good.
Yeah, and he got an NWO, so he got a little bit of notoriety, right?
Exactly. But yeah, that was a good episode. And you know, there's it I didn't know a lot of the things about his background. I just knew him like from when he started in WCW. And yeah, I really didn't like them when he was with the American Males and Scotty Riggs, but I know that wasn't the demographic they were trying to get at.
Right.
Yeah. But the what's cool though is what I'm waiting for, just a little sneak peek into next week, is episode 3 is going to be on Terry Gordy, one of the Freebirds. And I know I only know a little bit about him, so I'm excited to see it. Like the Freebirds, I started watching as I got when I was older, because I was not born when they were a thing, or I was very young. So it's going to be an exciting episode.
Yeah, and they're really so far so good. This has been an enjoyable first two episodes, and I'm glad they're back. And you know, I don't know what the future holds for Vice, but as long as this show keeps pumping them out, like, God bless them.
Exactly. And you know what? We can't top that. Yours truly, Xander Hobbs.
Ours truly in this life, Bobby B.
And once again, we're always reminding you to show empathy, protect the environment, defend animals, and support the Wrestleocalypse.
Booyakasha.